Welcome to Special Education Matters. I'm your host, Michael Bull, and I'm the proud father of an adult son with autism. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Our goal here is to create a space where our listeners can learn, find inspiration, and explore new perspectives. And today, I'm thrilled to welcome Angel Jones, a behavioral analyst who brings a unique, holistic approach to supporting her clients. Angel combines traditional ABA methods with mindfulness practices like yoga and meditation to help children with autism and other special needs regulate emotions and build resilience. Get ready for a meaningful conversation that bridges science, compassion, and innovative therapy techniques. Angel Jones, welcome to the podcast. So great to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Michael. It is such an honor and such a pleasure to be here. Thank you. I really am grateful to be here.
Well, me too, because you have a different approach. I mean, we talked to BCBAs in the past. We know a little bit about ABA. We know a little bit about therapies, but you have what you call a holistic approach to that. And we'll get into that in a moment. But let's start out a little bit about you. What inspired you to pursue this career as a behavioral analyst and focusing on special education?
So I fell into ABA because I finished undergrad and my best friend, she was also in the same undergrad program as I, she got a position as a behavior interventionist for an ABA company. And I said, oh, I need a job. So let's go. And I got trained and I saw how, wow, this is pretty intensive. And I see why it's effective. Mm-hmm. And as I used it with clients as a one-on-one behavior interventionist, I really saw how effective it was. So that's where my roots started. 2006, I worked for an ABA agency out in Orange County. And okay. Ever since then, it's just been a progression of, okay, I want to learn more. What else can I learn? What else can I do? So essentially, and then I just continued to pursue it because I really saw the power of it, how effective it was for the families and the clients mm-hmm. I worked with. And I just decided, okay, I'm just going to become a BCBA. I think that's a pretty traditional track for many BCBAs is they find it and they're like, wow, this is amazing. And they just keep going with it.
Sure. So you're getting that feedback from the families or the individuals.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're like, oh, hey, this is kind of cool.
Yes, you really got to see, you know, you're working. I worked a lot with 2-year-old, 3-year-olds who were still really learning so many things. And just to see them go from, you know, some behaviors to now they're asking, I want bubbles. Mm-hmm. It's such a huge progress. It's just so rewarding to see that. Reinforcing is the word.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And it just kept me going. And so I'm here now. 18 years, yeah, 2006. It's now.
Okay, well, at some point, and that's what we're turning to now, you added mindfulness to the whole
yes.
idea. So, and to you, that's yoga, that's meditation. I do a little bit of both, so I kind of think that's neat. So, how do you integrate? I mean, to me, ABA is more like do this, get cookie. You know, it's more structured and less about mindfulness and thought. It's more like we're going to go here and work. And I don't know. Tell us about that. Like, how do you integrate all that?
So, As I worked with those clients, I got to see how, okay, you know, there's some things here that I was still a little bit struggling with. Mm-hmm. And then I continued to live my life, grew professionally. I became a mom myself. So I have 2 boys. And through that, I realized, oh my, ABA works and I need something more.
Mm-hmm.
I started to practice yoga, mindfulness, meditation for myself, just as a self-care practice. This was around 2018. And around that time, actually, that's when, we'll talk more about it later, that's when I discovered acceptance and commitment therapy. And
okay.
Everything kind of just connected. So,
sort of the natural next step.
Yeah. Because again, I'll talk about it later. Mindfulness is a component of ACT, ACT in short. And yoga and meditation, those all fall under or are in the same family as mindfulness. And so I just adopted that as a personal practice and I just continued on along with using ACT on myself. And again, that's a pretty traditional track when it comes to learning about ACT is you use it for yourself first and then see how that works. Because it's a very, very heavy self-reflection work. And mindfulness is huge on self-reflection as well. And so the way I've thought of it is, okay, ABA, it works when we're working on structured teaching and when we're teaching, academics or whatever it may be. But then I realized that, oh, a lot of these behaviors that we're seeing are avoidance. Yes, avoidance behaviors, but there's something more to it. I started to see that emotions play a role in
Sure.
these behaviors. And so I as someone who was, self-reflecting and really looking into and applying ACT on myself, practicing mindfulness on myself, I started to understand, oh, we need to see how we can incorporate mindfulness and support their emotions. And as research grew in mindfulness over the last few years, supporting emotional regulation, supporting nervous system regulation, that's when I started to see, oh, this could be really effective in supporting our clients develop that emotional regulation skills so that we can really work on learning, right? And so I started to just incorporate more breathing techniques as I work
Yeah,
on.
that was funny. Yeah, what does it look like? Like, what would a typical session look like that might, how would that differentiate from
Yeah,
a typical ABA session? And I
so
didn't mean to interrupt you. You're talking
I
about
no, no,
breathing,
that's
so
okay. That's
go ahead.
okay. So just imagine me sitting one-on-one with a client, and it may look like a discrete trial lesson, actually. I'm asking the same thing over and over again, but what we're doing is we're doing breathing. We're going to take a deep breath and hold our breath, and we're going to breathe it out because sometimes that's where it starts. Sometimes that's where it starts. And along with that too, part of the practice that we do is we say positive affirmations to ourselves, right? And so we repeatedly say the same thing. We say, I can do this. This may be hard, but I can do it. And then we take a breath and then we breathe it out. And just again, a lot of these positive psychology practices, we just embed within session and run it within like multiple trials in a row with my client. So I'm sitting across from them, and most of the time, not most, all the time, before I even present anything, I'll sit with them eye to eye. I'm very present, and I just let them know, remember why Ms. Angel's here. We're here to practice. And they complete the sentence for me. And at this point, my clients know what mindfulness is. And so I have a whiteboard with me, and I just have a list of expectations, as I like to call them, and just what to expect for the session. And so we're not working on, matching, as you may be familiar, right? Or maybe letter identification. We're really working on, hey, let's sit here right now. Let's be present with our feelings, okay? And I'm paying attention to their behaviors because this is where I see a lot of those escape behaviors, right? And
Yeah,
I.
I mean, you're working to regulate the emotional and the sensory system. Is it
Yeah.
difficult then to do
Oh,
that?
I mean, it's challenging. There are challenges, but I do this in the home with the fam with the parent there, and so they're there to support me, and I'm coaching them as well. And a lot of times they do step in.
Is
And
that
so as
helpful? You never know with parents, but no, go
yeah, oh no, they're
on.
very
Oh,
cooperative.
good, good,
They're
good.
there, and they just okay, let's do this. And a lot of times now they take the lead. They're at a point now. I've had clients who've been with me for over a year, and they take the lead, and I watch them, and they are able to get them back. They can tune them in, and they can
Great.
say, hey, I see what's happening here. I can tell you don't want to do what's happening right now, but remember, we're only doing this for 5 more minutes, and then we get a break. And immediately the behavior, takes some time, but they're definitely a lot more cooperative after that. It's a lot of using priming, a lot of setting the tone for the session. And once we get that going, really the rest of the session flows because we can get some reading activity done there. Maybe we can do some play, whatever it may be, depending on the client. So yeah, sessions are definitely different. They're only an hour long as well.
I
So
see.
the way I describe it is like especially for this specific population of, kids with autism, especially those with limited language abilities. The way I describe it to parents is it's imagine it as their talk therapy, where they're able to express and release the emotions like the way we would talk when we go to therapy. Except theirs looks a little different. It may just look like, ah, I don't want to do this right now, right? They may have some self-stimulatory behaviors.
Sure.
They may actually get up and leave. But really, it's those behaviors that we're targeting right in that moment and addressing. And we're seeing, hey, I see what's happening. Let's do something about it. Let's talk about it. Let's breathe it out. And then let's keep it going.
Now, I know acceptance and commitment therapy is part of this. So, can you tell us a little bit about what that is? And then maybe how you integrated, or maybe you've already discussed that and some of how your examples are part of that.
So acceptance and commitment therapy, it's actually been around since the 1960s. Dr. Stephen Hayes is one of the co-founders, I suppose, or the ones who de initially developed it. And it's a talk therapy approach. And the way I like to describe it is very in alignment with cognitive behavioral therapy. And it has six components to it that altogether, when you work on building those muscles, those six components, you're developing psychological flexibility. So the ability to really be present in the moment, respond accordingly, right? Staying present, responding accordingly, and remaining in alignment with your values. Meaning, despite what's happening around you, whether there's a lot of stress happening around you, you can stay present, you can stay grounded in the present moment, make decisions that are what's true for you. Most importantly, what's kind to you and to others. That's why I'm really big on compassion when I use these approaches, because it's all about, is it kind to you? Is it kind to others? So,
So you're essentially asking the student or the child then to do this same thing, because if you're a neurodivergent individual, there's a lot of things that are different that surround you in life and the way you interact with people or the way they interact with you. So this is a way to, I guess, maybe observe those stresses rather than interact or react to them.
Exactly. And so acceptance and commitment therapy, again, there's those six components, and mindfulness is one of those six components. Values is another one. Committed actions, which are the actual behaviors that we want to adhere to that are in alignment with those values. So, for example, if we have students who really want to make friends, right? Because I have clients who want to make friends and they have a hard time because, again, they may have those feelings that say, I don't know what to say. I have a hard time coming up with words to say. They've actually told me that. And so we practice that during our session. So that's where role play comes in. And, we do some social skills training. We've brought in some peers curriculum as well and just incorporated other strategies and just rehearsing those things. So for example, a committed action might be, okay, I'm going to practice texting a friend once a week or something, right? Because the value is friendship
So they're
and just.
understanding the reasoning then for doing it rather than because they have to.
Everything is tied to why is it important? There's always a rationale behind why we're doing something. And we're teaching them to reflect on those.
Okay. Do you have any, like, maybe Angel, any more specific success stories, like, of a client that you could talk about?
Oh, so many.
That's good time.
So, I mean, for example, this client who has a value of friendship and he really wants to have friends. And I've been working with this particular client since 2022. So it's been over 2 years now. And when he came to me, when mom came to me, it was a dire need. He was diagnosed with anxiety. He has autism. He was diagnosed with anxiety. And so he was prescribed anxiety medication. And he was asking for the medication. Like that was his way of coping, multiple times a day. And he had really deep fears.
Sure.
He would watch movies surrounding death.
Okay.
And so that's kind of how the family came to me. And I just met the family and we just started working. And just really, it's all about just I'm just here. We are just here. And from the very beginning, we set the tone that this session is to talk about the hard things. And we don't like to talk about them. We don't like to feel them, but we're going to make space for them so we can then release them.
Sure.
Acceptance is another component in acceptance and commitment therapy.
Great, it's
And
the
so
A.
that's the A of
Yeah.
it. And so when we have our sessions, when I say we're going to sit and feel them, right? That ties into the mindfulness piece then, right? Because we're going to be present and then we're going to breathe it out. And that's why I like to bring in yoga and meditation, because those by themselves are very good at soothing and relaxing your nervous system. And so when you're working on acceptance and you're feeling all of these emotions, and then you bring in some mindfulness to soothe now the emotions, right? You're helping yourself. And you're really doing a really good job of helping your heart too, not just your nervous system, your heart and your mind, because
The
you're
holistic, yeah.
the whole body, the whole thing, not just the behaviors that happen because those underlying things are going on underneath you.
Sure. Rather than just working on one side, which is pretty typical of a therapeutic approach, the person comes in and that's their expertise, so that's just what they focus on. So I get that. Well, Angel, we're coming to the end of our time here, and I'm just curious, how's this impacted your personal journey? Because meditation and yoga is a journey, and you're interacting with neurodivergent individuals and, trying to show them a better understanding of meditation. How has it impacted you?
So, like I mentioned, my way into doing this work with my clients now is my own personal journey in the beginning. So I started practicing yoga, mindfulness, meditation for myself. And then, the pandemic happened and the need for using those practices really increased.
Sure,
And so as I did the work with my clients, I realized, wow, I need to use this more too for myself. And they really go hand in hand. And I tell my clients this, my clients, the students themselves, like, you are my teacher. I don't know if you know that. And I'm going to tell you every session, I learn so much every time we talk, even though you don't tell me much. But just the fact that you're here and you nod your head yes and agree when I'm right, or shake your head no when I'm wrong, that is so much. And you're breathing out all of those hard feelings. And I tell them they're such great teachers for that. And I learn that and I take that home and I'm like, man, whew. I need to keep practicing this just as much as they are. And so that particular client who came to me 2 years ago, now he has attended multiple funerals, and this is a kid who was afraid of death, about anything about it. And is now just whenever parents ask him to do something, just around the house, whereas before it would be, maybe an instance of quote unquote non-compliance or uncooperative behaviors. Now he would, okay. I mean, that's a response that we would like to see, right? That shows us, yeah, I know you don't want to do that, but I appreciate you for doing it for us anyway.
Right. And having a deeper understanding of the why.
Yes, and no, he's not on anxiety medication either. And so yeah, I just, they continue to reinforce me. Just them seeing them practice these skills, and then the parents, they have been such a huge part of it. Because again, my sessions are typically just 1 hour. Most of my clients are just once a week. Again, it's like a talk therapy approach. The parents are there, they're
To
watching.
carry on,
They're carrying it on, and they're the ones talking to them when these hard feelings or these hard things do come up. They know what to do because they've seen it in session. They know what to say. Oh, we're having a hard time right now. I'm really sorry. I can help you if you need help. And so That's just the biggest approach they've taken. And from then on, it's just been just watching the parents themselves just blossom in their own ways, in their own ways. It's almost, like I'm gonna not use some non-scientific words here, but they get so in tune with their child, and it's like they just know exactly what they need in that moment. Like, oh, okay, you don't want to do this right now because I understand we just got home 15 minutes ago, and you want another hour to relax. I understand. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that, but the parents knew that.
Sure, yeah.
So those are good, really good information that, they take on, and then they're applying it everywhere else in their lives. So it's just been a really beautiful work, very different. I mean, talking about it, I'm still like, I bet people are still, wow, how do you? It's so interesting. But the way I describe it, it's just think of it as like a talk therapy without making the talk part happen.
Okay.
It's very mindful, where we're following the lead of the client. If they don't want to lean into this particular topic, then we're going to say, okay, just tell us, let us know, I don't want to do this, and then we'll move on, right? And that's
Okay.
where functional communication training comes in,
Sure.
and targeting other skills too. So yeah.
Well, thank you, Angel. I really appreciate your time today and the work you're doing for the community.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Special Education Matters. For more information, including show notes, head to our website, csnlg.com/listen. And if you like what you hear, please consider giving us a review on iTunes. Those reviews bring us lots of happiness. I'm your host, Michael Bull, and we will talk again soon.